Chapter 7, Like a Lotus on the River. We were sitting around a table in the Moscow apartment on Russian Christmas Eve. Corbin was examining politely a second blue loud rattle larger than the one sent by Coral from Australia, which had been opened earlier on the Australian Christmas. There were the traditional 12 dishes in front of us, but vegetarian and mainly soup and dip, rather than the astonishingly carnivorous Russian ones, often involving the heads of pigs. I said, when we've been to the church, you can phone Ruth for the end of the ghost story. Present were Claire, Corbin and I, Idris, Sophie, Florence and Nanel. Nanel had taken refuge with friends in the country, but returned tonight briefly with gifts of bright-wrapped food and toys for the two children. We were going to church, or at least Claire, Corbin and I were, because Idris had been told by one of Smith's Russian colleagues that Quentin had wanted to pray in the Cathedral of Christ the Saviour tonight for a few hours. Smith would be there watching her as always, but it would still be good if she knew we were around. And of course Smith already knew we were. He had to stay in Moscow for a while, however. Idris said that was about the acquisition of even more light-sensitive silicon quantum diamonds, with the Saudis as first potential buyers. Claire rubbed her tense forehead on my shoulder, and I slid my arms around her waist. Earlier, she'd said she'd had the nightmare about Janolin Caves and Brioni's ghost again. I'd said, "You should have woken me," but she'd smiled. "I'm not an adolescent anymore, George. I don't do nightmares as foreplay." I'd protested, "I have social skills. I know more forms of comfort than just sex." Now, she said, "Maybe it will help if I meditate a bit in the cathedral. I was always good at yoga. I can see the lotus. I see the lotus really easily." We left the others eating finger food, fortunately no creature's fingers, and taking turns to play maracas with Corbin's rattles, the adults drinking some old blazing vodka Nell had brought especially from her best friends in the Urals. The cathedral was near the prismed river and voluptuously night-lit as only the Russians can illuminate their treasures, its white flanks reminding us of the police station in Koz, but domed golden. Inside it was crowded, but with that odd sort of pious attendance in which each individual's face advertises their own private rapture or stoical annoyance. Claire and I sat separately, I with Corbin, and she in a blue and silver woolen scarf, her face unusually peasant still, less elfin. It may have been that stillness which finally disarmed Quentin. She came over quietly, picking her way as if the crowd were a shallow river, and knelt beside Claire. I saw Smith's face, at once over-animated and cadaverous, a few pews away in a corner. Quentin said nothing except to mouth once, "I love him," her words holding all the tragedy and horror in the world.